How you doing? Brain still going? Still fresh? Lots to turn our minds over, isn't there? We need God's help. So let's ask God to bless us, to keep us receptive to truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that we're learning as we think about church life. Lord, as we think about leadership, as we think about the scriptures, Lord, we pray that it will be shaping our own thinking and, Lord, that it would help us to be more useful. We pray that we would indeed be those who aspire to be clean in the things that we flee and the things that we pursue, that we might be useful in your kingdom, useful to your people, pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as we come to this great topic of prayer together, we pray at the outset that you'll give us your help. Father, we know it's one of those things that we know is important in theory, in our heads, on paper, and yet, Lord, sometimes we struggle to be committed to it as we should be. Father, we pray that this session would encourage us, give us that momentum and encouragement and desire that we would indeed be those who are committed to praying together, and also, Lord, that will be true of the churches represented here by the different people. So Lord, help us in this session, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So it's over 23 years since I married my wife, Ruth. Some of you were puzzling over the fact that she's still 21, but that's just diplomatic. It was over 23 years since I married her. But I still remember meeting up with our photographer. So I don't know about weddings in the different places that you're from, but one of the things in UK weddings and English weddings is that you have someone who is a photographer, takes pictures of different groups and all of the events, and then after the event, you'll gather perhaps those pictures together and make an album, make a book, something to remember the day by, something that you can show to friends or look over. And I still remember meeting up with our photographer after the wedding. We were choosing photos for the album, and it was before, and this is how old I am, it was before digital photos were common. So it was before there weren't digital photos, and so there weren't that many to choose from. He'd taken lots of pictures, but it wasn't like there's a million. You know, when you've got a digital camera, you can take loads of notes. And so we basically sat down together, me and Ruth and the photographer, and we sat down together and we went through the pictures asking, has Ruth got her eyes open in this one? And yep, she's got her eyes open, so it's in the album. I don't know, presumably marrying me made her want to close her eyes. I don't know. it was a very sunny day. That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. Unfortunately, there were enough photos with her eyes open to make an album. So we only had one in with her eyes closed at the very end. Now, I want you to imagine a picture book of the early church, a photo history of the early church. And it's based on the record in the book of Acts. So you might want to open your Bibles at the book of Acts. So we're ready. We're going to be looking at this book of Acts. So you'll find it on page 909 onwards. I want you just to imagine, though, that it's a photo book of pictures of the early church. And it's based on the record in the book of Acts. But this time, almost all of the pictures are eyes closed pictures, because this session is on corporate prayer. It's on prayer together in the local church. Now, if there's time at the end, I might take some questions on practical things. But my main goal for this session is just to encourage you and inspire you and instruct you from Scripture about prayer together in the local church. I want you to get excited about that theme and being part of that. And so our imaginary photo history has got five, it's one of these big books, big large album, and it's got five double pages. And so let's open it up and let's see the church at prayer. So the first double page has the title Beginnings, and it shows us that the first Christians were devoted to prayer meetings. The first Christians were devoted to prayer meetings. So imagine the first picture fills the left-hand page, and the date on the photo is 40 days after the resurrection. That's how it's dated. And for the last 6 weeks, Jesus has been showing himself. He's been revealing himself, proving that he really was actually physically, gloriously risen from the dead. And he's told his followers to stay in Jerusalem until God sent what was promised. Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When we looked at Acts back in TBT 1, we saw that that verse was a verse which sort of describes the book of Acts. And then in verse 9, when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. What a sight that was. But that's not the picture. The picture is what happened next, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Did you see that? There they all are with their eyes closed. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And that, there's that word devoted. Now we turn to the facing page to see the next picture. And this next picture is a picture of a few weeks later. Now, the most amazing thing has happened between these two pictures, 40 days after the resurrection, a few weeks, and the most amazing thing has happened. God has sent his Holy Spirit. Peter has preached his great Pentecost sermon. 3,000 people have been converted, and now there's a church in Jerusalem, the very first church, the original early church. But what were they doing? We look at verse 46 in chapter 2. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. But our picture isn't one of people praising or eating together. It's an eyes closed picture. It's there just a few verses earlier, verse 41. Those who received his word were baptised. They were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. They devoted themselves to the prayers. So you see that word again. The early Christians, the first Christians, were devoted to prayer meetings. And when it says they were devoted to the prayers, it's not talking about their individual practice. That was true too. It's talking about their group prayers. It's the prayers, the prayer meetings of the church. Now, what does it mean to be devoted? Imagine you are devoted to a football club. So maybe you live in Liverpool and you're devoted to Liverpool Football Club. Now, what does it mean to be devoted to a club? Does it mean that you went to a match once? That's not devotion, is it? That's just sort of, doesn't mean you just follow to see how they're doing. If you're devoted, it means it's a time commitment. I remember my dad, when he was a young man, he was devoted to a club that you won't have heard of, Watford. That's where he was born. It's a club which is just dropping out the bottom of the Premier League in the UK at the moment. But he would cycle for miles and miles and miles to go to away games. He'd jump on his bike and cycle non-stop for several hours to go to an away game. And he'd watch it and cycle back in the rain. He was devoted. That's devotion, isn't it? Maybe here's someone who's devoted, and there's something at the cinema that they want to see, but not when there's a game on. It trumps other things. What does devotion mean? It takes time, it takes discipline, it takes inconvenience. You put yourself out if you're devoted to something. It takes priority. It's the same in terms of a relationship, isn't it? If you're devoted to another person, that means you spend time with them. It means that you're ready to put yourself out to visit them And I remember, again, back when I was at university, when I was courting my wife, when she was my fiance then, and I was studying, and she'd cycle. She lived 5 miles away. She'd cycle all the way across to my digs, and she'd bring maybe a sort of some fresh orange, and we'd have breakfast together, and then I'd go off to lectures, and she'd cycle back. So that's devotion. Just come over all that way just to spend some time just before lectures. That's devotion. The early Christians were devoted to the prayer meetings. Are we? Are you? Are you devoted to the prayer? That doesn't mean you attended one once. That's not devotion, is it? It means that you're committed. It's not just a nice to have. It's not just an optional extra. And it's no good saying, well, that's just a description. You know, when we read the book of Acts, we don't just assume that everything they do, we should do. It's a description. But we can't say that because in Romans chapter 12 and in Colossians chapter 4, we're directly commanded, devote yourselves to prayer. Same word, just like those early Christians. And that means time. We've just had a week of prayer in our church. The week before we came out, we had a week of prayer in our church. We had prayer meetings in the morning between 7 and 8. Prayer meetings in the afternoon in different people's homes. A different home each afternoon between 1 and 2. Prayer meetings in the evening. And a number of people came to many of those meetings. Lots of people tried to come to a number of them. Imagine someone going to all of them. No one went to all of them. But, you know, for some people, that would still be less time than they'd spent watching a screen over Christmas. I wonder how much time you invest in other things. How much time you invest in praying with God's people. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes discipline if there's a prayer meeting between 7 and 8. Inconvenience, other things that you want to do, more sleep, priority. So the early Christians were devoted to the prayer meetings. Number two, we're going to talk about crises. This is on the next page of pictures. Crises, times of intense difficulty. And the early church responded to crises. They responded to these problems that were happening with prayer. And so the first picture here shows a picture of Peter and John. And Peter and John have spent the last night, the previous night, in the cells. They've been locked up in prison. It was after Peter had healed a lame man and preached another scorching sermon in the temple, beginning of chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So they've been arrested. Now, that didn't make much difference. Verse 4, many of those who'd heard the word believed. The number of the men came to about 5,000. And the next day, Peter and John are hauled out before the supreme Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, and they're threatened. So down to verse 15, when they had commanded Peter and John to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what should we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it, but in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Now, these were the people who only a few months previously had Jesus brutally tortured and executed. So these were people to be fearful of. These were people who made bad things happen to the people that crossed them. But Peter and John weren't intimidated. Verse 19, Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. So what happened next? Verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the earth, the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And so their prayer goes on. How did they respond to this? The leaders, Peter and John, arrested, threatened. They responded by gathering together as a church and praying. The early church responded to crises with prayer. And that's a wonderful prayer. I mean, we could linger on verses 25 and following. They're reminding themselves that God is sovereign. God is creator, that God knows the future, that he's in control of the future, that everything happens for his own wise ends, that God has seen everything and that he's quite able to give them what they need. Not a quiet life, but courage and impact. And prayers like that, prayers like the prayer that we read there in Acts chapter 4, they put things in perspective. And when other people pray prayers like that in our prayer meetings, and our hearts swell, and we're glad and we're hopeful again. Something great about being in a prayer meeting and someone prays a prayer like that, and your hearts move and you say, this is my God and this is what I believe. And you can say a real amen at the end. Yes. So they responded to crises with prayer. Now the picture on the facing page of this is a much darker picture. You might think it was pretty bad. Two of your guys arrested and threatened. This is a much darker picture. It's taken from Acts chapter 12. Once again, the eyes are closed, but maybe there are tears glistening on the faces. Why is that? Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Just like that. There's no hagiography. There's no sort of martyr's purple prose. There's just the raw fact. What a blow this was to the early church. This was James, the brother of John. He was one of the three who were closest to the Lord Jesus, Peter, James, and John. James, the brother of John, has been taken and executed. But that wasn't all. Verse 3. When Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. Are they about to lose Peter too? They've lost James. They've seen this man arrested and murdered, executed, just like that. And now Peter seems to be next. So what happens next? What do they do? We'll have a look there in verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer was made for him to God by the church. Earnest prayer was made to God by the church. So let me see what's going on there. There they all are, eyes closed. The early church responded to crises with prayer. And God heard their prayer. If you know the story, the very night before Peter was due to be brought out and maybe strung up, the very night before, an angel rescued him. And the next bit's quite amusing. Newly escaped, he heads off to the nearest prayer meeting. They're praying for him, and he's going there to share the good news with them. So we read in verse 12, middle of verse 12. So he went to the house of Mary, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking. You know, he's sort of like, they've heard and he's knocking. "Can you let me in, please? I've got some good news to share." And there he is, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. I wonder if you've ever stayed away from a prayer meeting because you felt that you were lacking in faith. You know, some people, all those people who go to the prayer meeting, they really believe in, but I'm really struggling to. And you stay away because you're lacking in faith. Well, let's not idolize the early church here. They were gathered to pray, but they didn't really believe that God was going to answer. Because when it happened, they couldn't believe it had happened. And yet they were gathered and they were praying. That's the point. They responded to crises with prayer, and that's what we should do. I wonder how you respond to crises in your life. Maybe it's bad news from the doctor for you or someone you love. Maybe it's an unexpected bill. Suddenly you find you've got to pay something that you weren't expecting and it's a bad time. Maybe it's disappointing results. Hoping to do better. If you failed something, how do you respond? Whatever it might be, how do you respond to a crisis? Is it frenzied planning? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Or is it depressed resignation? Oh, there's no points. Or is it just a sort of paralysis? I don't know what to do. Well, the early Christians, the early church responded to crises with prayer, and so should we. Well, let's hurry on. The next double picture in our album of the early church has the title Leaders. Leaders. Prayer characterized the leaders, and nothing was allowed to distract from that. So we've seen beginnings, they were devoted to the prayer meetings, crises, they responded with prayer, and then leaders. Prayer characterized the leaders, and nothing was allowed to distract from that. Now what's in this picture? What's in our first picture? Well, it's an eyes open picture this time, and the 12 apostles have summoned a church meeting to head off a crisis. We've already looked at these verses, but let's jump back to them. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And so this ever-growing church has become a victim of its own success. Organisationally, things are starting to slip. There's just too many people, they're not managing to look after their needy people, the widows. And discontent is starting to spread. And there are these toxic rumours of racial discrimination. They're not dealing with our widows. And we know why that is, because you know what background, you know what race they're from. And so this was really serious. This could derail the church. And it's interesting, the apostles don't call a prayer meeting. Nor do they preach a fiery set of sermons from the book of Numbers on not grumbling. This is a structural problem, and it needs a structural solution. But notice what they do say. Verse 2, the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, they're not despising the work. Look what they say. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. We need some really first class, high caliber, godly men to make sure this is going to work. You choose them out. We looked at this, didn't we, with deacons? But see why, verse 4, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. In that order. This is our responsibility as leaders, as elders, as apostles. We are to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, this is a personal challenge to myself. It's a challenge to fellow leaders. It's a challenge to all of you, any of you who are aspiring to be leaders in God's church. It's a vital characteristic to look for when a church strengthens its leadership with new elders. Prayer is to be our first priority. Prayer is a ministry. It's largely unseen, and yet it is the priority of church leaders. And it's vital. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet Samuel says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. It is a failure to pray would be to sin against the Lord. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. And you see the order again. Pray and teach. Ministry of prayer and the word. A church is only as prayerful as its leaders. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but I expect that is a good rule of thumb. It's a good way of seeing it. And see how practical they are. Basically what they're saying is, because prayer is our priority, because preaching and prayer are our priority, we're not going to be tied up in this daily distribution administration. It's not that it's beneath them, but prayer is a priority. They know that they can't do everything, and so they're taking practical steps to make sure prayer stays at the centre. And now all of us can learn from that example, not just those of us who are leaders or aspiring leaders. All of us can learn from the example of, if you don't plan to pray, you won't pray. You certainly won't pray much. Sort of feeling that prayer is important, a well-meaning resolve is not enough. You need to make a plan. You need to have a structure. You need discipline if it's going to happen. Set your alarm. You wake up. Turn off the snooze function. Keep the phone on the other side of the room. You need to be out. You need to have that time to start your day with the Lord's. I wonder if you've got a timetable. You're students, aren't you? Most students have got a timetable. I remember when I was a Bible college student, I had a timetable. And it wasn't as if every hour of my day was filled with teaching, with lessons. And so every day, in one of my free slots, I wrote the letters PR, prayer. That needed to happen in that slot. It was organized, it was structured, it was put in. You can do that. Or maybe you need some help with praying. Now, I know that just one or two of you have got mobile phones. I'll pick that up. Just one or two of you are in that position. I wonder if you've come across the app PrayerMate. Heard of that? PrayerMate. It's a prayer and then M-A-T-E. It's a wonderful tool to encourage prayer. If you haven't got it, download it. Put the names of people in your church and your friends and different things you're praying for in it, and then use it each day. I've been using it for the last year, and it's really revolutionized my prayer. If I meet someone and they tell me something to pray for, instead of saying, I'll pray for you, or let's pray about it now, which is a great thing to do, I get my app out and I just make a quick note, and then it's going to be pinged up to remind me. And so it actually does happen. So we need to be practical. I wonder if you walk places, you walk to and from your lectures, or you walk to and from the bus stop. See, that's my prayer time. You can have your eyes open. It's probably safest if there's roads to cross. But you can still pray. Be practical. Maybe there are books that can help you. There's a book that I'm using at the moment with my wife. We're reading for a book by a guy called Tim Keller, which has a page each day on the Psalms. It's called My Rock, My Refuge. There's a prayer to pray, encouraging us to read and to pray. So leaders, so there we are, there they are. But the picture on, be practical, the picture on the other side is a dingy cell, and there are two men in the cell, and they're bloody, and they're battered, and they've got their feet in irons, and they've been stripped of their clothes, and they're sore. What are they doing? Chapter 16 and verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. That was the caliber of those early leaders. That should be what we aspire to. Okay, then, double page number four. Progress. So we've seen beginnings, we've seen crises, we've seen leaders, and now progress. The title for these pages is progress. And here what we see is that kingdom advance came in the context of fervent prayer. So the first picture in this has the caption, decisions. Decisions were made after praying. And this picture takes us back to those weeks between Jesus returning to heaven, or those days between Jesus returning to heaven and the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. There's about 120 people gathering. That's about what we have on a Sunday morning. You have a little bit more, that group of people. And the disciples are appointing a replacement for Judas. Remember Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus and was overwhelmed with remorse and committed suicide? And now they're replacing him because it was important that they should have 12. There was something symbolic about having 12. And they knew that was the case. It was like the 12 tribes. It was a new beginning for Israel. And so they're replacing him. And they've narrowed it down to two possibilities. Two good men who'd been part of the Jesus movement since the days of John the Baptist, who'd seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who'd heard from him. They were, but which one should it be? Two good men, which one should it be? Let's look closely at the picture. Yep, their eyes are closed. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. Go back to early in Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. They prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside." Decisions were made after praying. And that's a good policy. I wonder if you make your decisions. And the church makes its decisions after praying. And then in the next couple of pictures, we've got a few pictures. We can see men in the middle of the picture. And then we can see a group of other men gathering around them, and each of these men has got a hand laid on these men in the middle. Maybe on their shoulder, on their head. You sort of think, what's this? What's going on? What it says here is dedications. In the early church, leaders were set aside with prayer. That was true of those first deacons. We saw that back in chapter 6 and verse 6. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And then again in Acts 14 and 23, whenever elders were appointed in Derbe, in Lystra, in Iconium, in Pisidia, in Antioch, Acts 14, 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Prayer and fasting. And so the churches were strengthened and the kingdom was advanced. So when they made their decisions, when leaders were set aside. And then the final picture on this fourth page is a deeply historic picture. It's one of these pictures which captures a very important moment in the life of the early church. It's earlier than Acts chapter 14. It's before those elders were appointed in the various cities. In fact, it's just what triggered all of that. It's what started it. And the caption here is development. And the picture is of the church in Syrian Antioch. That was a major city. It was a big church and a cutting-edge, well-taught church. They'd had a whole year of ministry from none other than the Apostle Paul himself. They generously contributed to the fund for poor Christians in Jerusalem, and now Paul was back in the church. The church were together, they were worshipping, and what happened next was one of the great moments in church history. Chapter 13 and verse 2 of Acts. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Two of their best men sent out. The first great missionary journey to the Gentiles. A new chapter in the evangelization of the Roman Empire. And Cyprus was one of the early places on route in this outreach. There they are about to send them off. And would you know it? Eyes closed. Chapter 13 and verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. A key strategy move began amidst prayer. So there was decisions, there was dedications, and then there was developments, all in the atmosphere of prayer, serious prayer, fasting and prayer, going without food. They were showing that they were serious, that this was really important to them, that this mattered more than, as it were, meeting their immediate physical needs. Kingdom advance came in the context of fervent prayer. There's one more double page. We've seen beginnings, we've seen crises, we've seen leaders, we've seen progress. I wonder what's the title on page 5. What's the title on page 5 of this this book? It's the title, Friends. The title, Friends. It's the title, Friends, because prayer together was instinctive and natural. Prayer together was instinctive and natural. And the first picture is a picture of a group of men. It's Paul and his friends, the elders from the church at Ephesus. And Paul has just been reminding them of his three-year ministry. He was in Ephesus for 3 years. He's been reminding them of that ministry, the hard work, the trials, the preaching, his service. And now he's off to Jerusalem. He's leaving them, and he doesn't expect to see any of them again. God has warned him that imprisonment and affliction lie ahead. And it's a very emotional moment. You read about it in chapter 20, verse 17. Chapter 20, verse 37. This moment. And there was much weeping on the part of all. Now, if you were losing someone that you dearly loved, imagine Pastor James or Pastor Andrew was going to be moving away. And he said, "I don't think I'm going to see you guys again." It'd be a moving time, wouldn't it? It'd be a very difficult moment, Pastor Phil. There was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. But it's not the tears or hugs in the picture. No, not if you look closely. It's an eyes closed picture, verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all because they were friends. And that's what friends do, pray together. And then the other picture, the last picture in this double page of the scrapbook, it's an on-the-beach picture. What if you like time on the beach? It's an on-the-beach picture, and this time there are whole families. So it's a Mediterranean beach, like your beaches. It's the city of Tyre, to be exact. And Paul has spent 7 happy days with the church there, and now his sea journey to Jerusalem is about to continue. He's got boarding passes are at the ready, but not for flights. It's the departure lounge on the beach. They're going to board a boat. Now, what do families do on a beach? They get together, fun and games, maybe barbecues, sandcastles. Well, maybe these are good things, but not in this picture, because this is an eyes closed picture. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all with wives and children accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed. There and then, kneeling down on the beach, we prayed. Because they were friends. And that's what friends do. Prayer together for them was instinctive and natural. Let's pray. I wonder if you ever say that. Do you say that? Do you take the lead and say that? I wonder if you give thanks before meals. Wonder if you give thanks when you're out eating somewhere else, out eating out. As a family, we pray before we open presents at Christmas time or on birthdays when they were little. We still do well at Christmas time. We pray. You know, we pray for food and we eat it. They like presents even more, so they're even more grateful. We pray for that before a long journey in the car, setting off. Maybe first thing before school. Let's pray. I wonder if that would feel awkward for you to say that. Let's pray. Well, you should do it anyway. What about when someone shares with you something that's on their mind, on their hearts? A Christian brother or sister shares something with you. What do you do then? Maybe it's something that's worrying them or distressing them. You could promise to pray about it. You could say, I'll pray about that. It's a good thing to do as long as you remember. If you've got prayer mate on your phone, you could say, let me just get that in. And that means I will pray about it. But even better, you could say, let's pray. Let's pray here and now. I wonder if you do that. I wonder if you've ever done that. If someone shared something with you, something that's on their heart. Now, I've heard some bad news from home. I've got this, worried about this, and you've said to them, let's pray. I wonder if anyone said that to you. It's a real blessing when people do that. Let's take it to the Lord now. Here we are, maybe it's a busy place. Let's just get in a corner. Let's find a place. Let's pray. Maybe that would be something you could work at this year. Readiness to say, let's pray about that. Maybe just be a word, maybe just a sentence. 5 double pages in this picture book. What have we seen? We've seen beginnings, we've seen crises, we've seen leaders, we've seen progress, and we've seen friends. But there's one final picture on the back cover. I think it's finished. You look over, there's a final picture on the back cover. It's back in Jerusalem. It's back in Jerusalem where it all started. And it's an eyes open picture. Eyes open and mouths open. But it's not because they're gawping, but they're speaking. And this is a picture that comes after the crisis prayer meeting. Remember how Peter and John had been threatened in that second point? Remember how they met together for the prayer meeting? Well, what happened next? Chapter 4 and verse 31. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Because power to witness was given at a prayer meeting. Prayer meeting when God came in a mighty, mighty way. How would you feel if you were the one who hadn't made that prayer meeting? Hadn't been bothered. You'd had other things on. And that is what had happened. Oh, why wasn't I there? Why didn't I see that? Why wasn't I part of that? Prayer, power to witness, was given at a prayer meeting. And so we finish our imaginary scrapbook of the early church at prayer. See the things that we've seen. Just j- jump through them. What have we seen? We've seen that the first Christians were devoted to prayer meetings. They responded to crises with prayer. The leaders were characterized by prayer. Nothing distracted from that. Kingdom advance came in the context of fervent prayer. Prayer together was instinctive and natural. Power to witness was given at a prayer meeting. But I want to leave you with one last thought, one last picture. Imagine that God has tasked two of his angels with making a scrapbook of your life. I'm going to make a scrapbook of your life. Two angels have been given this task to capture significant moments. So these unseen angelic beings are there with their unseen cameras and they're taking various snapshots of you. What would they be saying as they work together on the task? I can't find enough pictures of them with their eyes shut. Would they be saying that? I can't find enough pictures of them with their eyes shut. Would they say that about you? Would they say that about the church? No, they say, no, look, here, there's a good selection here from January 2020 and following. After the TBT, that was when they turned the corner. That was when things started happening. May it be so. Amen. Stop there. We can take some practical things about prayer and prayer together, maybe in our prayer time. But maybe we just have a minute or two just to reflect on that together, just as we sit here, just a minute of quiet, and then we'll just have a break and do our final exercise. So let's just bow our heads just for a minute.